call to order this special council meeting for March 8th.
Speak up, because we don't, actually, there's no mic up here. We'll have this one, but
2011. Okay. I see all five council members are here. Therefore, we have a quorum. I'd like to do the Pledge of Allegiance at this time, and I'd like to have Councilor Dan Marco lead us.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public hearing for ordinance number 2011-01 dealing with the Lapine Water District and the Sewer District withdrawal by the City of Lapine. And I'm going to open this up for a public hearing at this time, and I'd like to call for the staff report.
Thank you. I'll turn these lights off. Everyone can hear okay? Okay. As most of you know, this topic's been out there for since the corporation and prior. And one of the things that the council, when I was hired, they wanted me to look into this whole process and do some due diligence. And this is the things, all these books up here are, I've spent 6-7 months just reviewing and learning. Is you, any of you, you're going to take something over, you want to know what it is you're getting. And you want to know, because that helps you move forward. You have to know what you've got so that you know how to kind of do things as you move forward. And, you know, it's not always fun, it's not always pretty. It's just what you do. And I think any of you that have ever went out and looked at something, you've got to ask those tough questions and you've got to get into it. And, you know, that's what we did. What you basically find is, as I've said to many people, the sewer water districts, without them, Lapine wouldn't be where you are. They filled a definite void that was here. However, like everything in life, it evolves. And after 25 years, Lapine's moving on, and because I think of the good job that these guys have done over the years. So, with that, I'm just going to walk you through some of the things that. Oh, I don't like that. Start that over. In before the appropriation, they formed. They had a bill for. Do you want to maybe flip the button? Sit right there. Down button. They formed a political action committee. Go ahead. And one of the first things you do is you have to go to the county. You got your signatures. You're gonna petition. You have to go to Deschutes County, and you're not expected to read that. That is, it's a several page document that the county had to then go review what it is you're doing, make sure that it is justified. And in that document, the Lapine Political Action Committee testified this intention that the city will fully absorb these two districts and take responsibility for their services. And this would have been in, I think, early mid-06. The revenues expenditures included in the estimated budget in the required economic feasibility study reflect the current budgets. What they did is they actually took the sewer and water budgets, put them in with what the city was going to run on. That was what was submitted. It included those budgets. And the final recommendations that the Deschutes County Commissioners signed by all three commissioners, Bev Clarno and those folks back then, the Lapine Special Sewer District, Lapine Water District, which entirely encompassed by the city, will be extinguished pursuant to RS-222. Now, when they actually went to the ballot, they missed 3 acres, so it wasn't entirely encompassed, and that was actually just an error at the time. Then it went to the ballot, and that was held on November 14th. Your first council was elected. A couple of, at least some of them are still here. I see some in the audience. That's the ballot, 942. And In the black area, it says existing sewer and water special districts located almost entirely. Now they switched to almost entirely because that little 3 acres. Within the boundary are likely to be dissolved with the city taking over those services. All other special districts will continue to exist. The city council is expected to dissolve existing Lapine sewer and water districts. Both of those statements are in the official ballot that people voted on. And then the big bulletin in stories, and there was editorials that talked about everything else, and you know, that's just one of their quotes. Under the incorporation proposals, the city of Lapine will provide water, sewer, road work, and general planning. That was from September 20th news story. And the idea is that all of those things will come in to the city of Lapine. That was just kind of giving, that's the history of how it got started originally and the intent. And I think it's pretty clear where they were headed with this. The city then, about a year and a half ago, formed a utilities committee. They were trying to move this along, and there have been some delays, and they were trying to get organized themselves, and so they finally formed the utilities committee. That's who was on it. And it was a resolution 2010-14, and actually we amended it. And, you know, this is inside the resolution. This is what the utilities committee was supposed to do. Develop an understanding of the range and depth of utility policy issues. They wanted to learn about a utility, the relationship utilities have in the community, the role the utilities have in the city's growth and development, provide advice on creating a smooth transition for all employees, work to ensure a seamless transition for the public from the special districts to the city. Why consolidate? All infrastructure systems are planned into one coordinating zoning code. Currently, we're going through our comp plan, and part of the requirements is that sewer, water, roads, sidewalks, all those things are put into a comp plan. In Bend and Redmond and Brianville and Sisters and the other communities, of course, the sewer and all that's in the cities. So it's more coordinated. Planning is managed to reduce infrastructure costs for all ratepayers and taxpayers. In Lapine, the ratepayers and taxpayers are the same. If you are a ratepayer, you are also a taxpayer. There are taxpayers who aren't ratepayers. A lot of times, these water districts and things are two or three times bigger than the city. But obviously, they intended to include all of that when they did this. It eliminates three elections, three boards, and three public meetings, three audits. If you look back in the last elections, as you well know, the city council never, until this year, I think, had a challenged race. Is that true? I think. Okay, Dell says yes. The sewer water districts, if you look at 07 and 09 and back, you have three positions open and only one name on the ballot. You didn't even have full people. So people could say, well, it's great, we got three boards. But the fact is, they did not have the names on the ballots, and the city had. So you had five people plus three people. That in these other communities, you have seven councilmen in Bend, five in Culver, five in Sisters, maybe they just went to seven. But they're running the things that you had 13 people, and you say, well, more is better. The fact is, it's hard to get people to sign up and run. And that's proven out by just the facts. Business-friendly policies and attitudes to support new family wage jobs. A city looks broader. A city is looking out at jobs, the economy, sewer, water, roads. All of those things are a piece to bring businesses to the community. And you have a bigger focus and a bigger vision. That's just normal from cities. That's what cities do. We're going to coordinate with all of the user groups. You can see their names there. We have people attending their meetings. Today we have two councilmen at the Liggy meeting. We have folks obviously involved with the chamber. EDCO was also here today. And everyone's involved. You know what's coming. You're talking about BioGreen. You're talking about all these things. And these are evolving processes. And the other communities, if you're going to get a Facebook, you are not going to do it. Sending the folks from Facebook around to three or four places with three or four boards to deal with, three or four sets of policies, three or four sets of rules, it's too competitive. And it's put Lapine at a disadvantage. And that's just part of our evolving. It was fine, but it's time to, I think, kind of make that leap. streamlining it again, kind of some of the same things. One-stop shop for permits. You still are going to have to, you know, permitting isn't fun anywhere. I think you all know that. I don't care what city you're in. It is an ugly process, and everyone struggles with it. But take away as many things as you can. Make it as easy as you can. Helps you. And, you know, that's what we're hoping for, is more of a one-stop shop as we mature as a city. Public Works Advisory Committee that will increase public involvement and oversight. We're going to form, or we've actually, we have it. We have it formed, a Public Works Advisory Committee that would have council people, citizens. We've invited board member from the districts to serve, help with the transition. But they will then be able to coordinate when we're doing a road, where you're building sidewalks. And, you know, you don't want to lay down a pipe 1 year if you're going to pave, tear it all out, or you're going to build a street, and then 2 years later you're going to put in a pipe. Communities kind of coordinate all of that. And they're public, they're taped, you can, you know, they're easy to follow for the public, they meet in the evening. Retention of most current employees and facilities, and equipment assuring no disruption of services, and we'll hit on that later. But the employees would transfer over, and we'll hit on the law. There's actually laws that require that. Share the employees, you know, and this is what you see normally if you're out in the summertime, but, you know, I just was in Bend today, and the same crews are out doing everything. You know, when you get a big snowstorm, it's kind of all hands on deck. It's kind of like when you get a flood. Everybody comes together. And when you get those big snowstorms, you do what you can. And currently, Lapine can't do that because you've got this separation of duties, separation of power, separation of all of it. So the idea is we create a public works department that when you got lots of folks on a water line, you move there. When you have lots of folks needed on a sewer line, you move there. And when you need it on some other issue, maybe it's a road, a sidewalk, or a snow removal, you move them there. But it's important to remember, through Costa County, you transfer the money accordingly. You don't take a sewer employee and just let them go work on the road. If you do, you keep track. You work 2 hours on the road, you pay back his cost of wages and benefits. That's what counties do all the time. They do it all day. They have a little card in their rig and they keep track. It's the way public works departments work. So there's no transfer from this fund to another fund. But you do get to share that equipment. You only need one backhoe. You only need one grader maybe. You only need one dump truck. And they sit 90% of the time. So instead of having that iron sitting there costing you money, you use it to maximize the benefit to all of you because you all pay both bills. The withdrawal. Under Oregon law, you can read what that does. If it's in the best interest, we further by the withdrawal or detachment of territory from the city, the legislative body of the city, on its own motion, may order the withdrawal of territories provided. What that says is that if you have a special district within an incorporated city, you can withdraw that, you can withdraw and assume those responsibilities. There's ORSs this thick on all of that. And it is anticipated, it's in law, and it goes on all the time. This would be kind of a, and this is just kind of a, an idea so people can see how it works. You have a city council, they hire the city manager. The city manager in this city, you know, really, we probably have, because cops are handled by the county, law enforcement. So we have finance, public works, and planning. Legal and audits is off to the, so they're kind of separated. You really don't want the attorney and the auditors working for the city manager. You want to have the separation of power, separation of duties to assure transparency that there's nothing going on. But finance, you have utility building, budgets, accounts receivable, public works, roads, sewer and water, planning, zoning, and codes. And so Lapine truly then starts to become a city that has that mass that can really move forward again for the next many decades. A transition team. If you've got, I have a business plan up here that's several pages thick, and it goes into more detail. And it's also going to be online, so you can look at it. But we would form a transition team that would have a city manager, the district's manager, a council member, a board member, some technical folks that would meet and start talking about how do we do this? You know, how what are all the technical requirements? They would report to the Utilities Committee, which is public meetings, taped meetings, made up of community members. That would sunset, meaning that committee would go away after we get a year down the road and this thing's been merged together. Because those duties ultimately would go to Public Works, and they would take it over. And then above that, which you can't see very good, is City Council. That's, so there's four different groups going to be looking at this. Kind of a technical staff, and then three groups, top one's elected, the other two are appointed. The timeline. We're here under Oregon law, and we need to do this in March. We didn't just pick March, that's in the statutes. And it has to be done by March 31st if you're going to do it by the next year, which is July 1st. If the two entities will agree on a different date, we can do the withdrawal, and then if the two sides agree, you can pick any date you want. And that's something that I'd like to see happen. I'd like to move it out to January to give us more time. If it's February, I'm fine with that. I mean, I think it's going to take us some time to get everything done. But that has to be a mutual deal. We can't wait to April to decide that. It has to be done now. So January 1st, 2012 is my recommendation of a good timeline. And when we started this, you know, we were out 18 months, and then in January it was a year, and now we're down to 9 or 10 months. So it just kind of keeps, we need to get started on it. We create, there's the public advisory committees and so on. We dissolve the utilities committee after we're going. Expansions, you know, it comes up, and I just wanted to hit on, you know, on cable. I think the council and the public works committee, it's something to do after they've formed. You know, it could be a year after they're got everything running smooth before you start taking on a whole new area. The council had said they want to make sure that they have a public hearing with those folks, with cable. We got to know what cable wants, what cable needs, not what we want them to have, and maybe what the district plan may. We need to hear from them, and, because it's going to cost them some money to hook up and do other things. And right now, money's tight, so it's something that's going to be down the road a couple years. You know, we really want to make sure this is a smooth transition, you know, the best we can. And there'll be some glitches, believe me. There'll be some hiccups. But, you know, it's good for everyone. And I think we can, working together with these folks, we can get it done. We'll form a transition team. The idea is that the current bill, the office staff from the districts would be transferred to City Hall. So when you pay a utility bill, you come to City Hall, and we're going to purchase the new building out here on the highway, which we had to have anyway, so we don't have to come to these places. We'll have our own meeting room and our own facilities, but ultimately, that's where you come for planning, utilities, and everything. So the billing clerk would come there, and then when they're gone, our current Patty, who's at the Patty down there, would help with that stuff. And so we'd be able to be open from 8 or 9 a.m. to 5 o'clock at night, including lunch. So at City Hall, you have the management, budget, finance. We're currently over the districts. They do their own, obviously, their own finance stuff because they're their own entity. That would also be at City Hall. There would be no finance stuff done over there. Over at the current office of the districts would become our public works department. As you go to Deschutes County or Bend or Redmond, they have a public works department that's off. It's a great building for that. And that's where the manager of the public works director would be. And that's where that staff could come in every day. The current meeting room could become their break room, their training room, and so on. And you go there if you want to talk about some expansion of the line. You talk to those folks. And then, of course, you've got the treatment facility down the road. And that's where the crew would go over and do the things. That'd be your equipment yard for maintenance and repair. Again, all of it would be brought together. Staffing. Under ORS 236.610, we're going to follow that to the letter of the law. It tells you that you have to take all the employees at their current wage, benefits, for 1 year. So, you know, I looked at it this way. We've got 10 months now, and You've got another year, so employees have a chance to adjust if there's any changes. All the district employees will become city employees. We have no one to run them, this operation. These guys have got a good crew down there. And so we have no intentions of bringing anyone else in. The law doesn't let it. Plus, we wouldn't do it. There'd be no reason to. Wages and benefits remain the same after 1 year, is kind of what I said. The city will adopt a new benefit package and retirement structure to accommodate the new utilities. And the wages will have to be based on similar sized cities and districts in the region. I mean, we will go out and do a wage. And in the bottom of my study, you can see, actually, Sid did that. There's a, we went called Triangle Sisters, Madras, Deschutes Valley Water District, which is a special district, like the water district here, and Avion, which is, of course, private in the city of Bend, which has a ton of accounts. But Triangle has 10,000 people, and you know the numbers of the other communities. And what you find is, you know, there's some differences that we'll need to work out. The city of Lapine cannot afford a 9% retirement program, probably. And that's currently what the districts have. And there is no cities in the region that have 9% retirement systems. And so we're just not going to be able to do that. That's just a fact. We're going to have to adopt one, though, and maybe it's 6%, 7%, 5%. That's something they're going to have to work on. But we have to keep it competitive in the region and the marketplace. So, but that would come for a year later after the folks have come to work for us. And what we'd like to do is start working on that, actually. Debt, there's the loans, and I could be off on these. I mean, I got them off the audits. But there's an old picture of the pine up there. The USDA has been a main funder of debt and the county. Now, the county has said they will transfer the loans to us. The USDA, and I think some of you have read stories about it, the USDA, I met with them for an hour and a half in Portland on Friday, and I have a thorough understanding of the USDA and how it works and what has to be done. The bottom line is they make transfers of loans to one entity to the other all the time. They have rules that allow it. They know how to do it. It takes them 6 months to 9 months. They're a big federal agency, and they're kind of slow, but they do it, and they know how. But they do require that the person with the debt ask to have a transfer. And that's no more than if you're selling a business. You know, often a bank or someone will go ahead and allow the other person to assume a loan, but you've got to go ask them to let the person assume the loan or tell them that you're going to do it. You can't force it. So the city of Lapine actually has no way to force the USDA to start this transfer process unless the districts tell them in writing that they want the process initiated. And then it'll take 6 months to 9 months while they do their whole process. And so far, we've not been able to get that consent from the districts. And in fact, in 2006, in December, in the minutes, at the district's meeting, it said, we're going to go check with the USDA on transferring the loans. It's been a long four-year process that hasn't got anywhere other than we can't go anywhere. And I keep saying, I call it circular firing squad. We can't start till that's done. And so you can look through my staff report. It'll kind of give you an idea of the different things that I think would help us get this to work. Water rights, state permits, those are easy. I met with their directors. They said that's just applied. We can get it done fairly quickly. So DEQ and Oregon Water Resources, that's an easy one. We're having our public hearing here. The council will hold some additional deliberations, and it's expected they would decide actually on March 23rd, not tonight. The consolidation plan will be on our website if the folks get that on there tomorrow, which maybe it's already out there. I don't know. But that concludes my comments. And if you have any questions, you can call City Hall, and she can give you my cell phone also. You can call me on my cell phone anytime, and I'll try to respond. So that concludes staff report.
What we'll do at this time is we'll open the public hearing. The first First, I'd like to ask the districts if they have any comments at this time.
Thank you very much, Ken. Appreciate it. I'm going to stand and talk to you guys. I'm sure they can hear me as well. First of all, I'd like to just thank you guys for allowing us to come down here and say a prepared statement that we have, and thank you guys for allowing us to come and present it as well. First of all, personal comment. I'd like to say that I just want to thank you for allowing me to serve with the city of Lapine, mostly serve the Lapine Water District for 10 years now. And I feel like we've done a great job, and I remain committed to serving the people in the Water District as long as I'm elected to do so. So this prepared statement for you guys is through our board and through our lawyer as well. So thank you for this opportunity to provide a joint comments to Lapine Water and Sewer Districts. My name is Brian Earls, and I represent the Lapine Water District as a board commissioner. I am not part of the Lapine Sewer District. I'm only in the Water District. So, but I'm bringing a statement for both tonight for efficiency matters, so we don't have to hear twice, okay? First, both boards wish to communicate to the city, council, and to the public that we are committed to providing quality, low-cost services for our constituents. We believe our employees do an excellent job providing these services, and therefore we also are committed to those employees that work with us. Second, I would like to take a minute to educate the public and the combined boards and the council regarding the circumstances of potential withdrawal of the district's territory by the city of Lapine. Both these districts are recipients of USDA loans. The districts have a federal law from being forcibly annexed by the city or anyway curtailing any services that we provide. This federal law has been tested in federal courts and has been upheld in places like ours. The USDA, according to our conversations with our staff, remains firm in the position that the city's proposal to withdraw without permission under the federal law without the district's consent, and we provided the city with a letter from the USDA expressing this issue. Thirdly, the districts wish to inform you that given the protection grants used by this federal statute and the support of the USDA, we remain willing to discuss the withdrawal process with the city. We would like to participate. That's why we had a participating mediation with the city last week, and some of you were there, and we discussed these things with the city. We want to make clear the districts wish to continue to discuss with the city a memorandum of understanding in this process. First, we would like to talk with the city about a promise not to raise rates for a duration of up to 4 years from the district's withdrawals. We'd like to protect the ratepayers right now from seeing increases. We'd like to see the city retain the district's employees for up to 4 years, except if they break employee protocol or city regulations for a period of the same amount of time, or 4 years if we could. At this point, the district would promise to work on consent to the withdrawal process. I believe the districts, the city, and the USDA understand that they cannot override federal law. The district remain ready to file an action in court to enforce and uphold this federal law should the city continue their withdrawal procedure without obtaining district consent. However, we would prefer not to take this drastic action. As we have repeatedly told the city, the districts would like to discuss with the city the concerns about the employees, employment stability, and the water and sewer rates. And we would be happy to discuss any of these issues with you guys. And most importantly, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight and to serve you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. As we enter into the public comments, I'd like to make these notes. Please state your name and address. We're going to have a time period of 3 minutes per person to get through this. I have a timer here. 3 minute egg timer. And I'd like to say that please direct your comments pro or con to the council. This is not a question and answer period. So are there, we'll open it at this time for public comment. And
take this over here for these guys.
Right, just come on.
First, I'll just read this one in the record. This is the only one I have to do that to.
They emailed
this to City Hall. This is from the Central Oregon Builders Association. Mayor and Council, on behalf of the members of the Central Oregon Builders Association, COBA, I'm writing in support of consolidating the special districts of water and sewer into the city of Lapine. COBA continues to support issues and jurisdictions that try to consolidate services. This is a step in that direction. By having these services in the city, it will allow for the citizens and ratepayers who were and what their were and what their tax and fee dollars are spent on easier. I'll be happy to discuss this further. Andy High, their government affairs director from the Central Oregon Builders Association, so put that on the record.
We only have one mic.
Good evening. I'm
Art
Huber, past president of the Lapine Chamber of Commerce, and I'm here to read a letter the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors has submitted to the council. My address is 52670 Wayside Loop in Lapine. I live outside of the city limits, but I operate a business within the city limits. To the Lapine City Council and interested citizens, the Board of Directors of the Lapine Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center offer its full and complete support in favor of the city's withdrawal of rights of the Lapine Water and Sewer District. We feel the overriding purpose of the public utility district should be to provide a fair and equitable service to the residents and businesses in its service area. We feel this will be much more affordably and efficiently accomplished through the oversight of the City of Lapine, the Council, and its appointees. We appreciate the diligent service the current and past Water and Sewer Board and staff has provided to the community and its surrounding area, but we also believe it is a time for peaceful change. The City of Lapine and Lapine Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center agree that we are on the brink of great things for our community, but we cannot keep and attract more commerce, businesses, and residents with some of the highest system development charges in the state or with inconsistent measurement and billing of necessary services. We urge the current Water and Sewer District Board of Directors to withdraw any opposition to this step of progress for the community and to partner with the City of Lapine in a non-eventful transition of oversight. Sincerely, signed, Michael C. Jensen, President of the Lapine Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center. And I believe all of you have a copy of that, or at least read that, so thank you.
Is there any further comment? Public comment? We do?
I'm Ted Shore. I live at 15640 Cornell Drive, Lapine. I'm currently vice president of Lapine Industrial Group. I have been on the chamber board several times. Have been the executive director of the chamber at one time in 97, 98. And this issue is not a new issue to me. It's one because of one of my pet projects and enterprises is to increase the opportunity for economic development, jobs in the Lapine area. I have said at public meetings before, and I'll say it again, that the water and sewer districts are prime inhibitors to economic development within Lapine. We have dealt with these boards and on offices on several occasions. I can relate, and I won't take the time to do it now specifically, but if anybody wants to ask me, at least three different instances where the attitude, the anti-growth, anti-economic development attitude of the district has turned businesses, factories away from here. This has got to stop. I am chairman of the Utilities Committee, appointed by the City Council a year and a half ago. that came from a town hall meeting in which several people mentioned that why haven't we incorporated the water and sewer district, and the mayor appointed me chairman at that time, and we've been working in that committee since that time to accomplish this. All we hear from the district is, oh yeah, we agree it should be part of it, but it's going to come down 5-10 years down the road. No, now is the time. Now is the time that we need economic development in La Pine.
Kerry Matthews.
Don't pay attention to my sweatshirt. It's a restaurant in Texas.
Then you have to turn around.
Thanks. That's why I do this here. You're not supposed to laugh, Mayor. My name is Kerry Matthews. And I've had an opportunity to talk to some of the people on the water board, and I work with the sewer district. I live at, I better give you my address, 54537 Huntington Road, Spend address, but it's just off the rec. La Pine phone number, Sun River zip code, and address. Currently in my four small businesses, I deal with 23 government agencies. And after talking, I got to commend the water district, the sewer district. They're great people. I talked to Rick, and I know the mayor. We need to incorporate the water district and the sewer district into one spot. And when I say that, it breaks my heart. These people work so hard in the sewer district and the water district on what they do. But as a former 27 years in government work also, we've got to centralize everything that goes on in the city. We can't have different agencies. With my small businesses, I can't be running around with mine paying people to do that. So, two things. I love the people that work at the sewer district. They're good friends. Love the people that work at the water district. Kitty. I think the world of them, but the time is they've got to be incorporated in the city. Thank you.
Ann Gaywith.
My name is Ann Gaywith. My address is 51501 Birch Road, which is just out of the city limits. I think Ted Scholler pretty much said everything I was going to say, and I think what he's trying to impart to you all is that so much of economic development is perception. When we have people coming in from out of the area that are looking to go to an industrial park or build some sort of Facebook or something along those lines, they perceive a community. That's one reason I think that the building that you've just purchased for the City Hall is going to be so beneficial, because it's a great looking building. It's situated on the, you know, right in front of everybody and everything that happens in La Pine. And part of that perception is making it easy for these businesses to come into a community and get everything done that they need to get done. And it also shows, if you bring those two entities into the city, it shows that we have cohesiveness, that we're ready to move forward and bring everything that is necessary into the city. So I think that it's a wonderful thing. I think it needs to happen sooner rather than later so that we can move ahead. There's obviously a timeline that needs to be adhered to, and if we don't start now, it's going to be much too far down the road when the people that have the money are out there looking again for places to move to. Thank you.
Linda Bauman.
I'm Linda Bauman, and I live at 17025 Pond Lane, Pinecrest. Anyway, I just think it's time that we move forward, get over it, and move. to a sewer meeting. I don't like to go to a water meeting. I'd rather just be at one place. I don't have time for all that stuff. And I know other businesses in town feel the same way, because I do have a business in town. So, okay, thank you.
Brian Pearl?
That was me, I spoke.
Okay. Then Loretta Murphy?
My name is Loretta Murphy, Post Office Box 2427,
Put the mic up.
Real close. 97739. I would just like to comment on all the hyperbole, especially when the bugaboo of rate hikes gets brought up. Why is there the immediate insinuation that should the money-grubbing city of Lapine get their hands on the spigots and plungers, that no one will be able to flush their toilet or wash their hands affordably? You know, I just don't understand where that comes from. And it serves no purpose to try and scare people with that type of tactic. There's no justification for it. There's no basis for it. And I think, you know, if that's brought up, one would say, well, if you were going to move ahead with your little enterprise on Cable Road, are you saying that who's going to pay for that? The tooth fairy? So I just think that the hyperbole about this big scary thing about rate hikes just really needs to be dropped, because there's no basis in fact for it. As a matter of fact, merging everything should actually reduce costs and allow the city to expand in a much more efficient manner.
Thank you. Jenny Woodruff?
Thank you. Jenny Woodruff, 52660 Pine Drive, in the Cagle subdivision. I am very concerned that I haven't heard any details or received any information directly from your utilities commission or the councilors that are going to tell me when you anticipate doing the annexation out there, what the parameters are going to be for hooking up, what initial costs that I'm going to have to pay out of pocket and not have time to budget for. I have no extra money. I don't know anybody who does right now. But I'm not going to have any extra money in 5 years. And I'm deeply concerned that you're pushing into this and not getting the information out to the people that will be most affected, those without water and sewer. The utilities will continue on within the current boundaries of the water districts. But you're asking me, as a retired homeowner, you're asking my neighbors, many of whom are partial residents, they're here 6 months of the year and they snowbird the rest. They don't get any of this information because it's not being sent out to property owners. This is a property owner responsibility. I'd appreciate a lot more information coming through the mail. It'd be nice if I had the option to say I'd like an email. But if you send it through the mail or give them an option, get it out to the people so that we can begin planning our financial conditions. That's a huge, huge problem for us. The other item I'm concerned with is, again, financially. It has not been explained to me what all of this current debt that the current districts going to be paying for that. I didn't ask for it. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't benefit from it. So when you take over these entities and I have to start paying rates, am I paying down on $3 million that I did not incur or benefit from? And what can you do to ensure that I will be financing for my services and paying rates for those services? That's my biggest concern. I'd also like to see a halt to articles like today's bulletin. That sounded vindictive, it sounded immature on all angles, and it gave me no information whatsoever. There was not one lick of information on this plan. It was as if there wasn't even a plan, just comments about ex-employees, current employees, organization, and the rest. The fact is, when the city takes this over, you will be the organizers. It will be your plan that goes into effect, not the current board or the employees. You will control that at that point. Thank you.
Thank you. Kitty Shields.
Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. I'd just like to say that I've heard a lot of good reasons tonight for bringing the districts into city operations. We don't need to repeat any of that. We heard some of the district's reasons against it, or for holding off. They want to have some discussion. But I think those things have either already been addressed, as in the retention of employees that was addressed in the staff report, or they can't be promised by either the districts or the city, and that's to put a time limit on any rate increases. No one can foresee when that would or would not have to happen. Or it's part of the process anyway, and if I understood you correctly, Brian, the third thing that you wanted was had something to do with consent to withdrawal. Well, that's what we're all talking about here tonight anyway. So, again, I don't see any good reason not to do this. As the staff report pointed out, it was expected, it was in the ballot title when the city incorporated. And I think now what we should do is ask for mutual cooperation from the city and both of the boards to effect this transfer without any undue delay and without any steps such as litigation that would create undue, unnecessary expenses that all of the ratepayers and taxpayers will bear. And I think we can make our entire city and both of the boards, thank you for all of your years and years of good service. You guys have put in a lot. I think that we can throw a good light on this city and on the two districts by getting that mutual cooperation and by getting it now and getting to what City Manager Allen has called the fun stuff, working through all of the nuts and bolts of getting this done. Thank you.
Thank you. Jane Benner.
My name is Jane Benner. I reside at 53380 Riverview Drive in the Pine. As Rick had pointed out, I have some background on this issue because I was a member of the Lapine Village Action Committee to incorporate the city. One of my jobs on that committee was to do the economic feasibility statement, so I'm familiar with the budgeting process and the fact that we did include all of the water and sewer district income and all of the water and sewer district expenses.
to make that budget and to present it to the county to have them approve of proceeding with incorporation. I also currently serve as chair of the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development and Governmental Affairs Committee and on the City of Lapine Utilities Committee. So as I said, I do have some background on these issues. Excuse my voice, I have a cold. I came up here just to say that I am very much in favor of asking the special water district and special sewer districts to approve allowing the city to move forward with absorbing those districts. I think it is in the best interest of the city residents and future economic development. Thank you.
Lee Smith.
Good evening. My name is Lee Smith. I don't reside in Lapine, but I manage the Lapine Industrial Park for the Lapine Industrial Group, and my office is in the Deschutes County Services Center. I'm not representing the industrial group, though. Vic Russell will do that later. I am on the Board of Directors of Economic Development for Central Oregon, and they have asked me to read a statement to you and enter into the record from Roger Lee, their Executive Director. Dear Mayor and City Council, as the Executive Director of Economic Development in Central Oregon, I am writing in support of the consolidation of the water and sewer special districts into the City of Lapine. As one of Oregon's newest incorporated cities, this consolidation is a natural next step for the community. Today, businesses have an expectation for one-stop public utilities. In addition, it is an important step for providing regionally competitive utility rates for sanitary wastewater services. I can think of no higher priority for the city's agenda than to accomplish this consolidation. The existing sewer and water districts have adequately provided services that otherwise would not have existed. But as the community has grown and evolved, it is now time for those services to be provided by the city, as is done with the vast majority of municipalities throughout Oregon. Unfortunately, I will be unable to attend your meeting this evening on this issue. However, should you have any questions or need further information about how this consolidation could impact economic development in Lapine, please don't hesitate to contact me. Sincerely, Roger Lee, Executive Director, ICO.
Thank you. Vic Russell?
Good evening. My name is Vic Russell. I reside at 15118 Fall River Drive. It's a Bend address. I'm representing the Lapine Industrial Group. I'm presently treasurer of the board, and this is a letter that's addressed to Mr. Rick Allen, city manager, by our president, Darwin Thurston. It reads, Dear Mr. Allen, we understand that the city of Lapine is exploring the possibility of replacing the existing Lapine Water and Sewer District with city services providing these functions. Lapine Industrial Group believes that these are the appropriate services for the city to provide to its citizens and that the city is in a better position to integrate water and sewer services with other infrastructure requirements. We further believe that the consolidation of these services by the city will provide economies of scale and strengthen the city's ability to allocate costs more effectively as part of a combined public works department. Please be assured that we support that decision, and if the council chooses to make it, we will work with you in every way we can to effect the transition. I'd also like to add on a personal note that we need to, as we change, we're growing as a community, and I encourage the council and the water and sewer people to work together. This was expected from the beginning. It's not new. There's been a lot of work by a lot of people that needs to be, they need to be thanked, but we need to move on. So I encourage you to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. David Harms.
Sorry about that. David Harms, 16567 BZ Place. Excuse my gum, hold on a sec. I just want to, I have actually worked for a, what we have now is technically public utility districts, and the long-term effect is what I want to point out, because what you want to move toward in the end would be a general improvement district. So in the time that, which you kind of explained, when the water's not broken, there's other things to do. There's a lot of stuff to do in the community. There's sidewalks with cinder all over it that could be brushed off. There's, you know, there's just, we paved streets, you know, we mowed lawns. We took care of our own cars. The thing, you know, our own trucks, did our own maintenance and all that kind of stuff. Everything was done in-house. That's the end result of it. And what ends up happening is you end up saving money in the long run because you're not contracting out to different places to do these small things. In the end, you totally save money. And the rates are not going to go up. They're not going to go up. From what they are right now, after you go check the wells in the morning, and then do your you know, regular stuff in the morning. I mean, working in the water district, that's what you do. The first thing you do, you show up, you take a couple hours, you check the wells. One time a month, you run around, you go check the meters. And now, they're hooked up, laptops, typically, I'm sure you have the system, or you can drive up the street, and they come up, it takes an hour, 2 hours to check that. So right there, we've covered 42 hours of an entire month. So, you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of time. There's a lot of time that could be put toward making our community better. Me personally, I went out and I got my noxious weed license, which upped me another level. Everything you do that you get a license for puts you up another level and another level, and you get a pay grade increase. But all that stuff is to improve the community. You know, you seal your own streets. You don't hire out. That's what you do when you are not fixing a water line, or when you're not fixing a sewer line, or when you're not having to deal with any of that. You're improving the community, an improvement district. That's all I want to say.
Thank you. Bear with me as I try to figure out the name here. I think it's Stephen Strutz. If I've said that wrong, I apologize. Please.
I'm Stephen Strutz, and I live at 15990 Pierce Road. And wouldn't there be even more competition? Like, I don't know how you're talking about regional competition, but I thought of a way you guys could increase competition even more if you guys made a new sewer and water district and try to compete against the old one, and the better district in the end would come out on top, and that would probably even help even better because both districts are competing and trying to improve each other. So if you made a new one, in the end, the best, in the end, it would work out better for the community. Oh.
We didn't hear anything.
Just hold it a little closer.
So. Okay, I'll repeat this. If you guys could create a new district, a new water district and sewer district, have them compete against each other, overall the better water district would come out on top, and if you did that, if the old one was better, it would come out on top and it would provide the better rates. If the new one was better, then the new one would come out on top and provide better rates. And then it would help the community if you made a new one, because the one that's best would provide the better rates would be on top. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have no one else who has signed up for comments. Are there any comments that you would like to make? Anybody else? Mr. Wanick?
My name is Gordon Wanick. I live at 50825 Huntington Road. I'm not in the city district, just out of it. The problem we have our city is I like to see the transfer to to the city, the sewer and water. But the problem we have is we have the fee is so damn high that people can't afford it. You know, I like to build more buildings and put more people to work. But the price they want to hook up, not for the work to hook it up, but for their permission to hook to the water, it's wrong. I got to make it so it's fair. You want to encourage people to come here to our community, not just so damn high, it's ridiculous. So this should be addressed soon so we can get more people here, get more businesses, put people to work. You know, this doesn't happen. And we have huge fees to hook up to the damn water and sewer. It's ridiculous. So take this into consideration when you're making this decision to make the city take the water over. If you can make it sooner and make it better, maybe the sewer district and the water district could come down on some of the prices. I don't know, but they should. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there any more comments? Please step up to the microphone, please.
Hello, I'm Vicki Jackson. I live at 17346 Main Court. I've been attending utility committee meetings for probably a good year, and I've been trying to go to SIR meetings, and I have heard about this federal court case that Brian mentioned in the letter, and I searched, and I'd like to know, and I know you're not answering questions, and maybe I'm getting to go back. Jeremy, if you've researched this, because I can't find any federal court case. But of course, I'm not a lawyer. The second thing is on the hooking up. I think some of the comments here, if the sewer and water are not withdrawn, the costs you're going to be looking at, because I have an email, they're going to be quite extensive if the city doesn't take you guys over. And I know at the meeting that they had at the city, they said that basically people will be able to hook up for free, and that's not true. I've got an email here, and I'd be love to share it with any of you, because you're going to have costs depending on how far your house is if they were to annex. And I don't think they're going to, because they don't have the county's approval. But as far as fees and costs, right now they're going to be higher. So thank you very much. I support the city taking over. Definitely, it's been 4 years too late. It was in the ballot measure. Brian Earls, Katie Shields, and Luana Demerval were the ones who signed the petition, and it's on there. So I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Again, R. Duke, 52670 Wayside Loop. On a personal side, I realize this isn't a question and answer period. I guess my question is rhetorical. Given the fact that the city is mandated by law to absorb employees at current rates of wage and benefits for at least 1 year, excuse me, given the protection that provides these employees, and knowing that the city does not have other employees to replace these employees, that and the fact that economy of scale is critical for as we move forward as a city, I just do not understand the hesitancy of these two boards when they are non-salaried, they get no money for what they do, if their role is, as they say, for the best of these citizens of this city. I don't understand their reticence to let the city move forward with what was on a ballot voted by those very citizens that they claim to be serving. Thank you.
Thank you. And I would say that anybody else that has already spoken, we've moved along quite rapidly. So if there's anybody else that has already spoken and would like to say a few more words, please step into the microphone.
My name is Kerry. I'm not a kid back there. You know, the lady that's talking on Gable Road, they talked about I have four small businesses, and she talked about being retired. And that's the kind of work I do. I put in septic systems. That's one of the companies that do the supplies. And I know the fees for the water district and the sewer district. worked in Water Wonderland. I did Sun River. Are those projects? And the lady that was talking, she's retired. I have a mother retired. I am extremely concerned about the cost of her having, it's thousands. We're talking over 10,000. Put both these systems down there at Cable, and I'm worried about that. And so when you incorporate the water district and the sewer district, I guess you're in a position where you annex or do whatever you do. But like I said, I'm worried about the lady that came up here and talked. She's retired. You know, by definition in this state.
Hi.
I'm your fan.
Thank you.
Is retired people like her. It just breaks my heart what's going on. We're talking, what is it? In Water Wonderland, I think it's 9,000 of it right now. Sun River, it's 9 or 10,000. Lapine, you'd have to tell me here, but I know we have to put a tank and install besides that, and you've got the rates. And Gordy was talking about his businesses and companies. So I am really concerned if you annex like Cagle, the cost of these people to live out there. We've got a lot of retired people. And I support this, but I'm concerned about the costs. And my neighbors. Thank you.
Are there any further public comments?
It's me. I think everything's kind of going around in a big loop about this annexation and Cagle, and actually some of you are making a very great argument for exactly what they're trying to do, because as Rick said, they do not agree with the Cagle annexation, and should it ever come to the table, it should be the people in Cagle who would bear the brunt of the cost, who would be, it would be discussed with before that would ever be done as a city. It is the districts that were going ahead with the Cagle annexation, and indeed had already, unless I'm incorrect, had already applied for the loans or done all the financing. I read the applications. Actually looked at the rates, looked at the EDUs, looked at all of it. So just to, I think it needs to be clarified that this, as far as I understand, this city council has no intention of forcing anything on anybody at Cagle. That would be a decision by the people who live in Cagle and would be affected. So those of you who are concerned financially, what the city wants to do actually protects you from that happening. What the district have planned is doing it, and already have the financing, I believe already applied for. I've already read all the financing papers and the application. So unless I've got it wrong, I just wanted to clarify so people would know the city does not want to do it. It's the districts that want to do Cagle. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments, please?
I'm Barb Ann Nelson Dodson, 51385 Highway 97 in Pines, and president of the Water District. The reason the Cagle was brought up is that the first councilors asked us to do Cagle and find out about it, and have everybody that was in the city limits be able to get water before they took that over. Now the council has decided it's not a great time, and so Cagle isn't an issue for years to come now, because that's what the council decided. As far as the rates go, that's not a decision that we make. The USDA loans the money to us at those rates. Those rates have to stay the same. The USDA will not allow you to drop the rates. They don't allow you to do anything with those rates. They decide that. That's how you get the money. And so the rates weren't set by us. They were set by the loan people. So the misconception that this could possibly go down, I just don't understand how, if you assume USDA loans, how you would be able to assume them and then have the rates go down. So, and I'm awfully glad to come tonight because of it's. I need to hear what the people want. But I don't know what the people, all the people want, and so that's why I'm glad I had the opportunity to come to hear all these opinions, which are all positive in the action of just going ahead and moving forward. And so we'll see how that goes at our next meeting. I would have loved to poll the ratepayers to see whether they wanted to do this, but I don't know if that's just a waste of time or whatever. I don't really know. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further comments, please?
Hi, Mayor and Council. My name is John Thomas, City of Lapine Planning Commission Chair, and I live at 53215 Holiday Drive. As a Planning Commission Chair, I'm one of, there's two of us on the committee that can live outside the city limits, just you guys are there back now. Three of the planning commissioners can live, have to live, excuse me, in the city limits. When I heard Brian Earls read that letter, I heard an agreement from the water and sewer districts to be dissolved into the city of Lapine. That's what I heard. I heard a couple of negotiating points, 4 years of guaranteed with the employees to stay on for 4 years. Let me back up a little bit because I forgot something very important. I would like to congratulate the districts on doing an awesome job. If you read their bottom line, these folks have done well and they've made money up till right now and probably would continue to do so if this doesn't happen. Congratulations on a job well done, folks. There was a couple of negotiating points. I heard an agreement. I just would like to tell the council what you have is you have an offer, and this is an old real estate man coming out right here. You have an offer on the table. You have an agreement. It's your job now to work out the details of the agreement. 4 years, 3 years, I don't know. You have offers, you have counter offers. Let's get together, work it out in the next 30 to 60 days. Let's get it done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm about to close the public comments, but just before I do, I'd like to ask the districts to again to consent to the withdrawal and initiate the paperwork to start the USDA loan transfer. We've heard a lot here this evening, and with that, I will close the public comments for this public hearing. I would like to, at this time, though, ask the council to make some comments and if they'd like to, and Councilor Marco, would like to start with you.
Well, like John, I'm a real estate guy, and I kind of think that that's a good tack to take. You know, we in any situation, you have to come together on find areas that you have things in common and work on them and bridge any gaps that we can. I think that. We know each other in this community, and I think there's got to be a fair amount of trust that we can have in each other, and I hope we can continue to build that. I think that the council feels as strong about protecting the citizens as the water and sewer districts feel about protecting the ratepayers, and that's a primary responsibility that we all have to do that, and I don't see any reason, why we can't go ahead and start moving forward. We just have to say, yes, let's do it, and then hammer out the details, like John was saying. And if there's areas we differ, let's just talk about it. Those of you that are familiar with the Ford Foundation, there's a fist of five. If you agree, there's one if you need to talk more. And there's everything in between, And we just need to get to the fist of five where we get in agreement on things. So thank you so much for the discussions we've had so far, and I think we're really close, so thank you very much.
One thing I would like to bring out is, first of all, I think that the annexation will reduce our cost. And if the Water and Sewer Department are making money now, it seems to me like we could continue to do so. I have not heard anyone on the council or anyone else say that as soon as the city takes over, we plan on increasing the rates. That has not come from anyone on this council that I have heard. And certainly I would vote against it because I don't see any need to do so. The next thing is that I just feel that now is the time to do it. It's not going to get any better later on. And you might also like to know that we in the city have a balanced budget. And we have not raised our rate yet. And we don't see that it's going to be raised in the near future either. So it appears to me like your city council has acted pretty responsibly financially. Thank you very much.
We've heard overwhelming support for the annexation, and I do like to ask the districts to please consider the annexation, say yes to it, and go out with a good legacy. You've done a job, and now it's time for the city to take over. The city, just to reiterate, the city has never supported the cable annexation. One of the components that came out of the loan application that really got me onto the path of this annexation, and I think it is the right thing to do, is that on the loan application, they were declaring the cable subdivision as a health hazard. What that would do to the property values and our economic climate, thank you, or our perception probably would be devastating to the community. We cannot afford it, not with the nitrate issues and then having this also as well. And that kind of goes with the fact that you know, they're not looking at an overall city perspective as a council, that we have to look at all aspects for making the decisions, not just what's best for our one sewer district or water district.
Well, I've heard a lot of folks speaking in favor of the merger, the city's taking over, and now we've been listening to this argument for the last, oh, I would say 3 years. It's time to move forward. The city needs to grow. We need to be keeping pace with the other cities in Central Oregon, or we're going to be left behind. I do have to compliment both Water and Sewer because they're the seed that was planted for Lapine to grow to where it's at now. All we're asking is for the Water and Sewer to join the city in moving forward. Let's get the paperwork, let's get the thing moving forward today, tonight, so that we can start getting the opportunity for business to come to Lapine. Let's get this started. It's been stated over and over that employees are not going to wake up one morning and be out of a job. I have said that over and over and over. I won't stand for that. At least I'll do my best to make sure that the people that are there currently are there tomorrow. And we have, as I think it's been alluded to time and time again, we have a year to come to terms with retirement programs and all the fine tuning of that. But we need to get started now. we all live in this community. We all, at least the majority of the people that I have talked to, lived here because of the country feel, the knowing one another, and we need to continue that. We have to look each other in the eye at the post office. We have to sit here right now and look each other in the eye. And we all of us have the city of Lapine at heart. And, you know, the ratepayers inside the two districts are the same ratepayers and taxpayers that the city represents. We all have their best interest at heart. And I would just like to see all of us put our personal feelings aside and move forward for what's best for the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to say pretty much what has already been said here, but I'd like to go to two things that appear to be the most important, things that really is apparent that the sewer and water districts have spoke to this evening, and things that actually are human concerns. One of them is, and I'll start with the rates. It's reasonable to understand that there would be a great deal of concern around raising rates, or where are the rates going to be, or what's going to happen. We know that when the city finally assumes the sewer and water districts, that the next morning the toilets are going to flush and you're going to get water out of your tank. It's like Councilor Don said, that we have a tax rate right now of $1.80 on $1,000, and we could have $1.98. I am proud of the fact that I was the instrument that suggested the rate and how we got to that when I was on the council 2 years ago. We haven't raised that rate. I don't see any reason that we need to raise that rate, and I would be against it in any future, immediate future. And I would also be against, just as Councilor Don has said, about any kind of rates being raised outside of some kind of an emergency. And we can't predict what's going to happen down the road. So there's that issue of us trying to guarantee rates not changing for 4 years. The other thing is about people. I would like to assure everyone that is associated with sewer and water, that work for them and draw a paycheck. And I would like to think I could speak for the council, because I've heard this said before by each one of them, that we are adamant about protecting those employees. When they come over to the city, we know they're going to be here for a year under the same benefits and the same wages as they're getting right now. And of course, we'll have to work out some kind of a benefits package and rate scales that will be comparable to what's going on in this area right now and at that point in time. But you've got to know that when that time comes, we're not going to be ready to cashier those people. They're valuable people to this community, and they always have been. And I have no doubt that those two districts have actually felt that they needed to do the things they've done with rates and benefits for the hard work that the district employees have put forth at this time. So I want to assure everybody that I can tell you right now that I'm going to take a hard, long look at any suggestion that would affect these employees that come over to the city. Those are issues that are important to this, to those individuals, and I'm sure it's important to the two districts' leadership. Thank you.
Mayor, I think there's one thing critical I need to mention to you and to Don. If you put a sewer line out here somewhere to cable, it isn't just we start paying so much a month. In Sun River, in Water Wonderland, and in Lapine, you pay several thousand dollars for hookup. It's not a fee increase. This lady is going to have to pay, the way it's set up now, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000.
Carrie, let me say this.
I just wanted to make
sure. There is some information available that I'd be glad to share with you and Jenny when we're done here that will, I'm sure, alleviate that. I'd like to ask the city manager at this time if you have any comments or if you'd like to speak to that.
Well, that
I can do it later.
I don't need the microphone. I think it's been said. Cagle is not, from what I've heard from the council, the direction from the council, that's something that would be evaluated down the road. And Mayor, I said that, we would hold hearings and everything else. It's just not, the city is not moving to do anything in Cagle. So, that's been documented and discussed. And by the vote, the council voted to not move forward on Cagle. So they actually have a vote on that. The difference, they threw out the 4-year thing, and that's something you need to be thinking about. We're deliberating tonight. We can deliberate again in 2 weeks, but then you ultimately have to vote. The law is that in January or in March, you have to vote, or it's the following March. It's a year later before, under Oregon law, you can withdraw. So there isn't a lot of negotiating time. Number one, this has been negotiated for a long time. The law allows 1 year of protection. It's a little bit dicey if you get into 4-year agreements not knowing your revenue. Because remember, whatever benefits, under the law, they're preserved that benefit. But I think once you went out 4 years, everyone that works for the city would have to be matched that benefit. You don't get to not have Patty. She has no retirement. For 4 years, you can't give retirement to all those folks. So Patty's paid out of the general fund, which means your general fund costs are going to go up. So you've got to be very careful if you're getting into a 4-year discussion, budgetarily wise. There's just a lot of pitfalls in that. And I think that's why the law gives you a year. I think it's for the city. The city is going to operate the city like a city operates. That's what you're doing. And our operating costs would go up significantly if we were to go out for 4 years on something like that. And then, of course, the other thing is, what if something happens and you don't do it? The districts have dissolved by then. They can't take a bath. So I'm not sure how you do this. And with rates, the same thing. You said it there, that the city has not levied their full taxes. They've showed restraint. They talked about a business license and haven't implemented a business license. I think by their votes, they have been pretty prudent. I don't think this council has any intentions, from what I know of you, they're your neighbors, is going to go out and add $5 a month onto. But I think if we can find some efficiencies, we can address some of these folks' issues with lowering SDCs. In other words, if we find some efficiencies that save us money on the rate side, and I talked to USDA about that, manager, and the fact that it's not a problem for them. If we save money on the rate side, monthly bill side, and RCAC, when they gave that speech to you on rate setting, when you did that training, he told you that you have the freedom. There are some cities that maybe use their monthly rates to pay for half the SDC. It's really the money comes into a pot, and it's really about that capital construction infrastructure of the whole district. And there are some folks that think, if we do come up with some savings, pass that to SDC, lowering those high SDCs so you can promote growth. So I think it's getting into freezing rates for 4 years, guaranteeing that, again, I don't know if you guarantee it to, guaranteeing wages and benefits for 4 years, I'm not sure what mechanism. But Jeremy and I were talking, and if there was a way to do some intergovernmental or not, I don't know that term, then we've done too many intergovernmental agreements. But some sort of something where we agree to a date out there, and it's just something we're going to have to work through on this transition team or something to talk about. Vacation, sick leave. I mean, if this is what it comes down to is vacation, sick leave, retirement, you know, the council has the authority to, you guys can pay $5,000 or $10,000 a month if you choose to. I mean, you can do what you want. So, I don't know where we go, but we don't have a lot of time in March.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to say one thing. I think that when it comes to benefits for city employees, we as a council have to answer to you, the residents of this community. And we've got to listen somewhat to you. I mean, we have to be careful what we set. We want to be fair. I don't want to be unjust or not fair. But we also have to be fair, not just to the employees, but to our ratepayers and our taxpayers also. So we need to consider that, too, when we start negotiating those things.
I'd like to at this time, thank you, Councilor. I'd like to at this time enter into some discussion with the council of any kind about, you know, the time is short. We will hold a meeting on the 23rd of March to approve or turn down is that an ordinance? The ordinance 201101 regarding this. So would you like to speak to our current feelings about this now?
About the ordinance?
Well, about moving forward.
Isn't that discussion going to take place when we pass the ordinance?
But you can do some now. I mean, it's while they're here, there's nothing, you know, you can talk. We will have a discussion there, but usually that's going to be briefer. And one thing that one of the things we need to have, you threw out, and I hope you two did, said you'd like to reiterate the request to have the districts meet next Tuesday. And maybe if there was consensus from the council, we'd have our legal staff send them a letter officially again asking them to initiate the withdrawal and to allow the USDA to start the transfer. And if they want to set a date out further than July 1st, I don't think we've always talked 6 months longer than that. So, you know, we could get that out there a ways with consent of these folks.
Okay. I'd like to ask the consensus then of the council.
Yes, I'd like to point out also is that I also heard some negotiating points, but I also heard a direction that I didn't really care for is that they would take a possible litigation, I don't think that the what we heard here would not support any litigation. I don't think that would be fair for the ratepayers. I haven't heard a strong argument that, you know, that there's people that are against the annexation. And I would urge you not to go that route. That would, as a ratepayer, I think I would strongly object to that. So my consensus is to move forward with the ordinance. I think that maybe there should be a discussion about what the ordinance is. That would be our next step.
Well, the districts meet next Tuesday, so you know it would be a chance for them to discuss some of this.
Okay, Don.
I've read the ordinance, and I feel we should move forward with it.
Okay. And I guess the question I'm asking is to a consensus to give our city manager and legal staff direction to send a letter to the districts requesting that they proceed. To provide consent to withdraw and initiate the paperwork to start the USDA loan paperwork. So that's really the consensus I'm trying to establish at this point. Is that what I heard? Did I hear that? Yes. I'm in the mode of asking the council to come to a consensus on having our city manager and the legal staff put together a letter to the districts that would ask them to consent to the withdrawal and initiate the paperwork to start the USDA loan in the city's favor for the transfer.
Yes.
Yes?
Very definite.
Yes? Yep. Yep. We have consensus, and therefore I'd like to pass to the city manager and the legal staff that we have consensus to have you move forward with a letter to the districts for that matter of,
yeah,
of their consent and the...
I think what you're saying is... In the way we got this one week in between,
yes,
you're trying again one more chance to say, would you consent so that we can avoid legal costs to all these citizens and move this forward? And what, but it's important that that's in writing. These guys can work that up and get that to their legal counsel.
Exactly. Thank you. Are there any other comments you'd like to make?
Can I have a couple comments, if I may?
Yes.
When we do this, what is to preclude, or would there be any objection to throwing on the table, you know, if they're going to place some conditions to their consent, engaging in some dialogue as to what those conditions might be? I'm not going to necessarily suggest that the four-year term is reasonable. I think there are some legal issues with that, but you know, if there are some reasonable conditions to their consent that would put us in a position to move forward in a timely fashion, I think that, or I would like to have the authority to engage in those discussions with legal counsel and then present to the city council before we actually adopt an ordinance those particular conditions. Because it may be that we can kill two birds with one stone and stipulate or agree to some type of memorandum, simple memorandum of understanding as to, at this point, what the transition process will entail and what agreements we're willing to stipulate to on the condition that they consent and cooperate with our withdrawal efforts.
I think that's extremely valid, and I would again then ask the councilors to speak their consent.
That sounds reasonable.
I'm for that.
Stu?
I've always trusted our legal advice, so yes.
Don?
I agree.
So be it.
Okay, we'll do that.
Is there any other comment or anything you want to bring before?
Just that you'll take this issue up officially 2 weeks from now on Wednesday night at 6 p.m.
Dennis Carter. I started and chaired the Lyon Special Sewer District and set on the Water District. Where all you people want to start with this? Kind of interesting. All of a sudden, my job's really important. And it has to be. It's been thankless. I don't get paid $60 an hour. I work for nothing for almost 27 years. But here's the deal. Election year's coming up. None of us are rerunning. We have no objection. Maybe Barb Ammon does, but I don't know. But I know that James and I and one are going to rerun. So, a lot of rhetoric, I don't know. I've heard a lot of stuff, a lot of truths, a lot of non-truths. And it's been interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Kim, if I may.
One last comment.
My name is Bob Steffens, 52573 schedule. I'm just a city resident. When I heard Brian read the letter, especially about this four-year commitment, I thought it was absurd. And I didn't make a comment at the time, but I'm hearing a lot of dialogue on this. I'd be very surprised if the district offers that to its employees. And certainly I would hope my city council will not do that either.
Thank you very much. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We're adjourned. I'd like to thank everybody for coming this evening.
Nice to meet you.